Hour number two of the Lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us. Ken Rudolph is off today. Jason Ross, I'm Damian Barling. Love this text right here. Thank you to whoever sent it. Unconfirmed reports say the Jets have signed that state trooper to a 3-year contract. Well done there.
Help the defense.
Right, as they said there on that call, those state troopers were hitting harder than many of the Jets D linemen.
Sadly, but true. Sad, but true.
There is good news.
Yes.
The Jets play the San Francisco 49ers this week.
Another one that has earmarks of a tie.
The Bears and then the Jets.
49ers could have got this up to 3 or 4 wins this year.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Bryce Petty versus, it's going to be Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody
needs to be.
It should be. And right on time, got an alert that Colin Kaepernick says he has not decided whether he's going to opt out of his contract at the end of the year, which I actually don't believe. I'm certain he's going to opt out of it. It's going to be a nice, peaceful divorce. They say, what is it, Black Monday, the day all the coaches get fired? That's the day that Colin Kaepernick will be like, P, I'm out.
He's done.
See, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm on my way to New York.
I know. That's the thing.
I'm going to go quarterback for the Jets.
Is it going to be better for him or better for the 49ers either?
Is it going to be better for the Jets?
I don't know.
It's going to be better for anybody at this point. I mean, when you look at those bottom-feeding teams, obviously the 49ers are there. Cleveland. By the way, Cleveland, they have a quarterback issue now. Apparently, RG3 is ready to play.
Let's play him.
Oh, my goodness. What if he gets hurt? That's all. what if he gets hurt?
A couple games left.
He gets hurt again, it's over, right?
Well, probably. And I think right now that's the one thing we don't know with him in Cleveland. He played the first game. That's it.
Yep.
Half of it, barely. So you've got to see. They spent the money on him. They wanted to see him with Hugh Jackson. Mm-hmm. I would like to see that. I'd like to see a healthy RG3. I think that still is their best option as we speak. But that's very fluid. That could change fast.
Is Kaepernick going to vote on staying? That's kind of fun.
That is good.
That's well played. 44, 11-40. Do you even want to win? What's New York at? New York's at three. Yeah, they're probably pretty comfortable there. Chicago's at 3 now.
Yeah, you boosted them up by losing.
So we're really just talking about Cleveland.
Pretty much.
And San Francisco.
Well, Jacksonville might have 2.
Oh, Jacksonville has 2, you're right.
Yeah.
But can you really see the 49ers winning 2 of their next 4 games?
No.
Well, of course, they got New York, though.
Yes.
Do they end with the Rams? Because that would be
They have the Rams again. They probably still have all the division again, don't they? Have they played everybody twice?
Yeah, maybe they do.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm anxious. I think of all of them, I'm anxious to see RG3. That's
yes.
If he's really healthy, like not like at the bottom of the comeback timetable healthy. But if he's got, I know he's gotten in a little bit of practice. If he's ready to go, I'm curious.
Yeah, might as well let him go. I mean, if he's healthy and can play, it's time to play him.
I feel like the question with him is always the same. Did he learn anything? Is he going to lower his shoulder again and try to take out a defender as he's going out of bounds?
Yeah, because he's already lighter weight. He's a lighter framed quarterback that likes to run, that can run, but he just can't take those hits. He can't. He's proven that.
Yeah. Let's get moving here. I'll lead us off since we were talking about it in the first hour, and it's not really a great buildup because I've mentioned it about 4 times. The most memorable single-game performance in your mind. Obviously, this is coming off the heels of what Klay Thompson did. If you want to share yours with us, 339-1140, you can always reach us in Text Nation, of course, 44-1140. Most memorable single-game performance in your mind.
I'm anxious to see what the texters say because it'll be something else that'll trigger. But the first thing I could think of, and it's still relatively fresh, and I was there to see it, was this one courtesy of Klay Thompson. Yeah, and obviously he got to 37. It's an NBA record. Kevin Love actually threatened it this year with 34.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be touched. He was so unconscious. A lot of it was late in the quarter. And the Kings were – I mean, it was at the Kings' expense, but I was – You know, we've done this a long time where you don't really get shocked that much. I was shocked. I'm like, what am I watching? Is this real? And to me, it was fun to see a professional athlete in the zone, almost amazed by himself, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was just cool to see it live in person, again, at the Kings' expense. But 37 and a quarter, that's still one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
And you know what you never hear in radio that the G-Man did right there, and it was brilliant? You never hear the radio guy layout.
Yep. Yeah. What can you add to it?
He laid out so you could hear the response from the home crowd. You just don't hear that very often in radio. You see it all the time on TV because they tell you let the and some guys still can't get through this their head, but you let the picture tell the story. Yeah. You don't have anything to add to it. But, man, that was a great call from G-Man. And, I mean, we're marveling at 40 points and a half.
Right.
It was 37 and a quarter.
Yeah, and in his third yesterday, which was – he had 20 in the third. That's really good. But he had 30. He had 37 in that one quarter, and it's still the greatest thing I've ever seen in person.
The first text that came through was one of the first things that came to my mind, Kobe Bryant's 81.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one right there. I remember watching 81, and I remember feeling like, yeah, something special – is happening, but still, if Kobe's 60 in his last game, I don't know, unless the Kings are winning a championship.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll ever have more fun watching a basketball game than I did watching that one. I was so invested in it because it's like, something's happening. Something's happening. Oh my gosh, he's going to get to 50. Holy crap, he's going to get to 60.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. A couple other ones that I made note of. When I was younger, Jordan against the Blazers, that 36, and was it game one of the 92 finals where he did the famous shrug that has been mimicked a million and one times? That's always one of
which
my favorites.
Which is funny in that, which I lived it too. I mean, thinking that, this is so crazy because he's amazed. Didn't he hit like five threes?
I think it was six.
Six.
Yeah.
Which
six threes.
Now I was like,
six, that's it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Clay can do that in about 5 minutes.
Or two and a half, depending on the day. Reggie Miller against the Knicks.
Yes.
I remember watching that one very closely. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people remember this one, especially a lot of people. Brett Favre against the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. The night his father had passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are just a couple. Oh, Tex Nation, this is a good one. Tiger at the Open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good one. Another Tiger one. Tiger at the 2000 U.S. Open. With the 15-stroke win.
Oh, when he blew everybody away.
Yeah.
was amazing, too.
And the other one was the 08 one, which is the
broken
leg. Rocco. Yeah, the Rocco. Oh, the Kings comeback against the Bulls.
That was good. That was a team performance, but, yeah, that was pretty historic. 35
was it 30-something?
35. Yeah. Second or third largest comeback ever in NBA history. Yeah.
Best single game, first Kings playoff win against the Jazz. Okay. All right, not really a player performance, but still get credit for that one. Yeah, there's a couple of good ones on here. Reggie Bush versus Fresno State. I don't really remember that. I'm sure you don't really store Reggie Bush memories. Yeah, that's right.
It didn't count.
Actually, Tex Nation, that didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
According to the NCAA, at least.
It's not real.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Let's get the next one, Chris.
I know we're going to get a lot more coming out of
that. Peyton Manning and his 7 touchdowns in opening game a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That was a good one, too.
Very good. Very good. All right. So I kind of brought this up yesterday. Now I'm turning it into a 3 the hard way about the Sacramento Kings. Kings right now, where they are, it's been adjusted overnight because some games have been played. Kings are now 4 games out of the 8th spot.
Okay.
They are 4 games out of having the worst record in the NBA. That's quite a, you know, that's an 8-game swing. But which direction are they closer to? Closer to the 8th seed, literally, or closer to the worst team in the league? You have to pick a spot. Obviously, there's somewhere in between.
What day of the week is it? I mean, I refuse to believe they're closer to the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to say they're closer to the 8th seed.
Exactly.
Like, this is the definition
that
of 3
like
the hard way.
Yeah.
Like, this is a tough one. They can't be the worst team in the league.
Yeah,
they're just
neither answer's right.
They're not the worst team in the league. So simply by default, although I don't believe it, I think they're closer to the 8th seed.
Yeah.
I guess the question would be, could you see them winning, say, 7 games in a row easier than you can see them losing 7 games in a row? And they're at 4 right now, right?
Yeah. I don't know that I can see them winning 7 games in a row.
What's the most that they've won in the recent?
Last year, remember when they started? See, the difference between this year and last year. Last year, they actually got to an 8 seed around January when they won 5 in a row.
Yep.
And remember, Cousins missed early. They started terribly. Well, they've been healthy. I mean, Collison missed the first 8, but other than that, this team has been there through the first 20 games. So, I would agree. I'd say the same as you. I think they're the answer is neither, obviously, but you have to pick one. They're closer to the eight seed. We can name 3-4 games that they totally blew, and if you switch that, they're .500 team. Well, you can't do that, but I feel like they're closer to that team than the team that's the worst. The reality is they're probably more of what they exactly are, yeah. But picking a direction, I think they're closer to the eighth.
Let's share a couple of these here. Mentioned the Peyton Manning one. John Daly at the Old Course winning the British Open is a memorable moment. Vince Young in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Very much remember that. The referees versus the Kings in 2001.
Gosh,
we just cannot let that one go. T-Mac beating the Spurs. And then now,
oh, that was awesome.
We'll get into, Kurt Gibson.
Yeah.
I actually saw that. Like, I was really young when that happened. I remember watching that with my grandpa. And now an answer to your question, Jason. Talent-wise, the closer to the playoffs. Locker room-wise, the closer to the worst.
Ouch. That hurts, but might be true.
Very well might be. DeMarcus is a punchline, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has caught on to this. I was listening to the guys talk about on TV, talk about what Klay Thompson was doing last night and the discussion about whether or not he should have been taken out or shouldn't have been or whether he could have just stood up and gone back in the game, what Coach Kerr would have done. And he said, well, I'd imagine DeMarcus Cousins would do that. I don't even remember who said it. DeMarcus Cousins would just walk back into the game, and someone said, yeah, DeMarcus Cousins does that on a nightly basis. He kind of just does what he wants.
So he's getting mentioned in Clay's night.
Right.
Yeah.
But not in a nice way.
Right, exactly.
Like, and you're kind of watching that like, oh, man.
Yeah.
It was some of the guys on NBA TV.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, that's the spot they're in.
They're a punchline, man, and that's annoying.
Yeah.
I hate people talking about your – we can do it. It's like I know, like, some people have it's okay. I can talk about my sister, but you can't.
Right, exactly.
I think that's the way people get with the Sacramento Kings when they're mentioned nationally.
It's true. Yeah, because more times than not, it's
– not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And they've done it to themselves. It's not like it's – you know, even though some of the players – I know Matt tweeted at Matt Barnes about, hey, the media's portrayed me wrong. Well – really? Have they?
If we had caught it quick enough, we were in the middle of something, and I just happened to look up yesterday, and I saw Rachel Nichols talking with a picture of Matt Barnes behind her, and I thought, man, I'd really like to know what she's saying about this particular incident here. But again, we've gotten no more information on that, so we'll just focus on the basketball part of it. They don't play till tomorrow. They play. You talk about worst teams in the league. I guess it's Dallas right now by definition.
I think
they have the worst record in the league.
Them and Philly, yeah.
And I would be a lot more scared of Philly than I would be of Dallas. Dallas, they're suffering from so many different injuries. They got so many young players out there, and they just haven't been able to, despite the fact they have a great coach, they haven't been able to get things going for themselves yet.
Yeah, and like we've said before about this, you know, we're thinking, oh, good, it's Dallas. It's a win. You can't think that way if you're the Kings. Mm-hmm. Nothing is a win. Nothing is a given. They're not that team. They can't approach it that way. And I promise you, Dallas is approaching it that way. When Dallas has had to play all these tough games, they're going, a home game against Sacramento, that's a win for us. That's how they think. I mean, the game, we think the Dallas, oh, they only have 4 wins. Kings have 7. It's not like they have 17. Mm-hmm. They have 7.
What are they missing?
Like, the Kings?
Yeah.
You know, the guard play has been really bad. I feel like there's – I think Dave Yeager can coach. I think there needs to be – and I never get too caught up in the lineup that much, but I think there needs to be a lineup change. And I, one thing I would look at, Aflalo hasn't really played that well. Temple seems to be a guy the coach likes. He defends pretty well. I wouldn't mind seeing a lineup that had Temple and Barnes in it instead of Kufis and Aflalo, and then your three best players are Cousins, Rudy Gay, and Darren Collison. You put that group together, still see if you can get Lawson, whether it's Ben or Aflalo off the bench, Omri or Willie, Costa, kind of that group. And see if that group can get something going. Because I think Temple in there gives them a little bit better defensive stability in the starting lineup. Maybe would avoid the slow start. Your three best scorers are still in your starting lineup. I know he plays Kufis maybe to protect Cousins from the fouls, but Barnes or Caspi in there I think would be the better answer.
I don't understand. They did it for a couple of games. Why Matt Barnes doesn't continue to start.
Yeah.
And why they put Costa Kufis in there.
Yeah.
They just always get off to
the slow starts.
And that's I hate when I absolutely – it frustrates me when I see that. I've watched it in the WNBA for a long time. Teams get off to slow starts but refuse to make that lineup change because it hurts people's egos. That doesn't appear to be the case with Costa Kufis. And the one that I know he's tinkered with the lineup quite a bit, but the one that seems to make the most sense is, why not have Matt Barnes in there with DeMarcus?
Yeah.
Why Costa Kufis?
I'm with you. I think that's one that big lineup was good for him in Memphis. It's not the same. This isn't the same group. It's not working quite the same. And, you know, DeMarcus is getting more. He's spreading the floor a lot more with him on the perimeter like that, and shooting threes and shooting them pretty effectively. I think you need to open up more things for more guys that can get to the basket too. So, I don't know. I think they've got to figure it out. They've got a few days here to try to sort some things out. But, man, the schedule – some have said it's been hard. I don't know that it's been that brutal, because January is really bad for the Kings. Yeah. The next month is just awful what they've got to go through. So they better start getting some wins here. Otherwise, you're going to have to start, well, can you beat the Warriors a couple times? Can you beat the Cavs? You're asking to do that? That's not a good recipe to get back in the mix.
I'm being told to tell you that Dave Yeager will be on at 3:30 with Grant and Doug.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, I'm being told to remind you frequently through the rest of the show, so I will absolutely do that. Maybe we can come back and ask him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, why is Costa Kufis in and not Matt Barnes?
That's right.
Just curious. I'm sure there's a reason he's doing it. I'm just wondering, what is the reason?
Yeah. I mean, the only one I've heard him say is to protect Cousins and fouls, but a lot of times we'll see Costa start, play 4 minutes.
Right.
And then play the first four of the second. So why is he playing eight? And what does that do?
Right. DeMarcus is still playing like 40.
Yeah.
So, like,
you're not protecting him that much. Doesn't add up.
Read off a couple of these in terms of impressive single game performances relating to what we saw from Klay Thompson last night. Tom Watson having the low total at the British Open at age 59. All right. Golf fans representing like that. Chris Webber's 57 against the Pacers.
That was a loss.
Adrian. Of course it was.
They get 57 and 21, and they lost.
Wow.
Just like DeMarcus last year, 56 and whatever, and they
That's
lost.
That's right, yeah. Adrian Peterson had 297 yards in a game.
Mm.
Antonio Brown against the Raiders in 2005. I don't remember what his numbers for that were. Woodson's strip sack of Brady for the AFC championship that they won for a split second before the Tuck rule was born, right there.
It's like, wait a minute.
On the spot.
Doesn't sound right.
A couple of text related. Oh, man, Kings fans. I'm just going to try to pick some of the nice ones. None of these are nice.
Yeah, they don't have to be.
All right, I'll just read them as they are. The Kings are missing leadership on the floor. That's a great point. The major problem, and to go back, your question again was they're right in the middle. They're four games away from being the eight seed.
Yep.
And four games away from being the worst team in the league.
Yes.
Which one are they closer to? And we weren't allowed to choose in between. The major problem with the Kings, Rudy Gay is still on the team. I don't buy that for a second.
I don't either. Rudy's having a good season.
Like, I think fans are frustrated that he said he was opting out.
Yeah.
If you want to be frustrated by that, that's fine. But he's not the problem with this team.
Yeah, honestly, Kings fans, and if you are frustrated with Rudy, I'm not trying to change your mind on that. Imagine, Damian, if he missed just 2 weeks. But
yeah.
Who is going to score? It's bad when DeMarcus is off the floor, but you have Rudy. Mm-hmm. If DeMarcus and Rudy are off the floor completely, this offense struggles. And so if Rudy's not here, man, he's still averaging close to 20 a game.
We talked coming into the year, the three of us, one of the questions we posed in this very hour was, who was going to be the third leading scorer for mm-hmm. the Kings? And it's not consistent.
Yeah, it's Collison, but he has not been great. He's had a few flashes, but he hasn't been great.
And it's not – so you lose Rudy Gay,
yeah.
A 20-point scorer?
Pretty close. If he's not, he's like at 19.
Mm. Let's see a couple of more here on the text line, 44-11-40. We need some more time with Willie out there.
Okay.
I like that. I'm fine with that. Omri is hot garbage,
and
I read that as it was written.
Okay,
I remember watching Omri come back. I think he had a flu or he had a virus or he had some sort of sickness. I watched the first game that he was back. I think he might have missed two, mm-hmm. maybe three. I think it was just two, and he didn't even look like a professional basketball player.
Yeah,
like he looked really bad that night, and I feel like he hasn't really shaken it since.
Yeah,
he's had moments, but he just doesn't look like he did last year.
Yeah, I think what's interesting on a couple of guys that were here last year that are here this year that are playing under two different coaches, how they look. I would say the people that have looked better under George were Omri and Willie.
Mm-hmm.
I think the minutes we've seen Ben this year, I thought he's looked pretty good. I think there's been improvement. Rudy's looked better under Yeager. It's funny how there was a lot of people that were killing George. I thought Willie and Omri played better under him.
Text line is speculating that Costa is just in for the tip. Which, yeah. Has DeMarcus Cousins ever won a tip, by the way?
I don't think the Kings ever win that.
Is he 0 for ever?
Yeah, 0 for lifetime.
0 for career.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure we establish that. McLemore is another player. We talked about this with Willie Cauley-Stein on Monday, how he was pretty effective on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played well. I feel like we're still seeing fluctuating minutes with Ben McLemore. We're seeing fluctuating time with him in and out of the game.
For sure.
There are moments at the beginning of the year where you thought, okay, the coach has some confidence in him. We might finally see something out of him. And then we started to see him in and out. Then we started to see that DNP / CD on the box score. And it's
a lot
like,
now.
Oh, man. Is it him? Like, is it between his ears? Is he not very smart? Or is he just... We've talked about this for years. He doesn't have a move. Like, there's nothing that you fear when Ben McLemore is on. He's super athletic. Okay, good. Now what?
Yeah. Yeah, my beef with Ben in the past had been that you just didn't know that he was out there. I feel like this year he's been more noticeable. I think he's done more. He's been more aggressive. But now he's the victim of not playing. And so I'm sure he's staying ready, but it's been several games for Ben to not play in a row, where before he was pretty consistently in the mix. I don't know. I feel like we're 20 games in and the coach literally is still searching for his group that he wants to play. And that's a little alarming that either the players haven't given him the confidence to play them or he hasn't figured out the group. It's weird that it's this far in and he's still searching.
I'm just the words that Sam Amick uttered a couple of weeks back. He'll be with us tomorrow at 2:00 on the Lowdown. The season can slip away from you fast. And here they are with, 7-13.
Yeah, on pace for 28 wins.
And it's starting to slip away.
It
again.
Is. And it's so that fragile because they won the first game of the road trip. Washington's a game they had their opportunity. They blew that game. Just not even playing Philly. You assume that you're going to win. Doesn't mean you will. But not having that game take place, they'll make it up later. I don't know. It's just all kind of derailed. And losing to Boston and New York were the two best teams they played on the trip. They could have won those games. They didn't. Now you're in a spot where you have to beat Dallas. Otherwise, it's continuing to spiral. Then you're going to come home and play the Knicks and back-to-back go to Utah, who's playing great. It's just it can slide. It can slide fast.
I feel like there's something here because we see this team so closely. We see these players so closely. Sometimes it's hard to say things like this. And I'm going to paraphrase a text that is coming through here at 44-11-40 from the 209, so thank you for this. I'm just going to adjust your words a little bit. This team isn't talented. Mm-hmm. There's two legitimately really talented players on the team, and that's no matter how you feel about either one of them. It's DeMarcus and Rudy.
Okay.
They're not at the level of the San Francisco 49ers by any stretch of the imagination. But when you look around the league and you look at the other teams, you realize this team just isn't skilled.
I agree partly, but I will say this. What's different between them, as they're made up now, mm-hmm. than OKC, than Houston, than New Orleans? I think four teams that have one star.
Great tease. Hold on to that. Yeah. We'll talk about that in the next hour. In the next couple of minutes. Also, there's really good news about NBA coverage. Jason Ross spotted this news yesterday. We're going to share that with you. A couple of more memorable moments we'll touch out and leave this behind. Derek Thomas, 7 sacks in one game. I had forgot about that. Matt Cain's perfect game. How about Robert Horry with the game-winning shot on the Vlade Divac assist?
I don't remember that.
And Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson is great, most memorable single night performances. We'll come back and we're going to take that question you just posed, talk about that, give everybody that good news and more crazy numbers on Klay Thompson's night last night in the NBA. It's 1:33, time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the entire family. Jason Ross came across this nugget yesterday, which we should all be very, very excited about. One Irvin Magic Johnson returning to NBA Countdown, the big Saturday games that ABC airs.
Okay.
And so is Mike Wilbon.
Yes. Well, I like that part.
It's interesting that Magic and Wilbon are both returning now that Bill Simmons is gone.
Should we read into that?
Yes.
Yeah.
You very much should.
Yeah.
Bill Simmons is the reason they weren't there. They handed the keys. That's why our girl, Michelle Beadle, took over because Michelle Beadle was a Bill Simmons loved her. And he wanted Sage off of that show and Beadle in. Sage missed the show. They brought Beadle in. Now suddenly Beadle's on the some of the marquee games.
How about those inner workings?
Right. And now where's Bill Simmons?
Right.
He He's not on HBO. The Ringer's good. The Ringer's very, it's very close to Grantland.
Yeah.
It's about as close to Grantland as it could possibly be. I know a lot of the writers are the same. Not all of them. Zach Lowe's obviously still with ESPN. But The Ringer's fun. It's just interesting how much pull Bill Simmons really had at ESPN. Yeah. So that should make, once those marquee games start kicking in around Christmas time, just after Christmas time, tweets from Magic a whole lot of fun. I did check today to see if we had to hit the music.
Yeah.
And the sound effects and the chimes and all of that stuff. He's been tweeting a lot about HIV and bringing awareness and reconnecting and all that stuff. And he hasn't quite had the fun, tweets that, thanks Magic moments that he's had over the course of the last few weeks.
Yeah, I saw last night the one thing he did do was, and I hadn't seen the play live. I watched a lot of that Warrior game, but I didn't see the lob that we talked about earlier, the great play. Mm-hmm. And he tweeted that, something along the lines of, Clay's night, don't let get the lob of the year get lost in it. And I'm like, okay. And then I watched the link. I went, oh, actually, that was a good tweet, Magic. Thank you.
One more thing I want to note. Margaret Whitten, may not know that name, but she was Rachel Phelps, the Cleveland Indians owner in Major League. We saw a whole lot of her in the Major League movie. She passed away.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That's a bummer. She would have been great to have been at the World Series. I know. They should have had all of them there.
Agree.
Now, granted, it didn't go their way, but I still say if Charlie Sheen throws out the first pitch with the Wild Thing music, they beat the Cubs.
Think so?
You march Charlie Sheen out there during the rain delay.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, man.
That's just made for TV right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to fill time. What's going on here?
That does it naturally. Does it on its own.
Hit the music. And here he comes.
Yeah.
You posed a question before we went to break.
Yeah, basically I was trying. You said maybe the Kings are light on talent. Could be the case. I mean, it definitely could be the case. But I wanted to ask, what's the difference then between them and other teams that have one specific star on them in the West and they're still maybe winning at either the same clip as the Kings or above? That's New Orleans with Anthony Davis, the Rockets with James Harden, or the Thunder with Russell Westbrook?
I would say this.
By the way, Westbrook, they took maybe the second best player on the planet away from that team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in fourth?
They're pretty good.
So, he had somebody to play with, sure, before. But right now, they took the MVP away from him, MVP.
Attempt to answer your question, Billy Donovan, Alvin Gentry. What was that? What team am I missing here?
D'Antoni.
So, the Rockets, right?
Okay.
The Rockets. Maybe that's why.
They're coaching?
Perhaps. Billy Donovan, I would argue more than the other two because Gentry's still relatively new, 2 years, I think. Obviously, D'Antoni's new to Houston.
Right.
James Harden, Westbrook, Anthony Davis, I'd argue they're all better and bigger than the superstars that we have. I'd also argue there's no turmoil there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have to believe at some point this matters. I'd also say teammates, again, this is a pretty clear statement, teammates like Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. They may think Russell Westbrook is a little eccentric, but they like him, and he leads them to wins. James Harden, I really didn't know about. I wasn't sure, but it absolutely appears that the Houston Rockets have bought into what Mike D'Antoni has sold them, and it's working for James Harden, and it's working for his teammates.
Yeah.
That's not here in Sacramento. It's constant turmoil. It's constant turmoil with DeMarcus Cousins. It's constant turmoil with Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay and DeMarcus don't get along. That's not a secret. It doesn't work with those two. I've heard things about Ben McLemore is scared of DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know if that's true, but you see the way DeMarcus talks to people on the floor. Not everybody responds that way.
Yeah.
Just because that's DeMarcus's style, just because that's DeMarcus's demeanor, just because that's his attitude, doesn't mean players respond to that. If the program director or the general manager of this radio station came in and yelled in my face, the first thing I would tell him, that's not the way to get through to me.
Right.
The only thing you're going to do is piss me off because I didn't hear a single thing you said. I just heard your tone of voice.
Yeah.
That type doesn't work with me. Some people respond beautifully to that stuff.
Yeah, but it's been hard finding those players that do, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to – I think it's difficult to play a team game when you're not a team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many – Can you think of an NBA team where you just heard later, man, those guys hated each other?
The one that worked was Shaq and Kobe.
And but when they real
but
when
I think
it
there was
really
professional
got,
respect. I
but
think.
When it really got bad between those two, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Detroit in a series that they had no business losing.
Right.
Everyone points to that one, but I mean, you also are talking about two of the greatest players to ever play the game.
True.
I'd argue DeMarcus and Rudy aren't in that category.
You're right.
So, I mean, maybe, I mean, you know, a better example would probably be if late, you know, we found out Kareem and Magic hated each other. It's like, man, they won for 10 years and they hated each other. Oh, Shaq and Kobe got through a couple of years when they couldn't get through anymore. Shaq was moved.
Yeah.
I think that plays a part. I think there's turmoil. There's, I think a lot of the franchise turmoil is gone, right? Kings don't appear to be going anywhere. They're here in Sacramento. They got the new. There's nothing left. That's there. Well, now, how do you fix the stuff on the court?
Right.
And I'm not positive that there's addition by subtraction. That's all I feel like is addition by subtraction.
Yeah, that's what it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle to try to figure out how they get going the direction they want, which is up. But do you have to go backwards first? Can you still make it work with this group? I don't think they're that far off, but they're far enough. I mean, they're far enough off that you can't just keep trying the same thing every time. But I think it's interesting because I have heard people say that, well, they just don't have enough talent. Again, watch OKC, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, watch OKC. That is not a special roster at all.
Well, think back to what Dave Yeager did with Memphis last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I really do believe Dave Yeager is a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will be a good coach, and I think he will be a good coach here in Sacramento. You're naming all of these teams with truly dynamic superstars. Arguably, everyone you just named is a top, I mean, maybe five or six player in the league.
Well, Cousins is really close to that.
He's right. He is very close to that. So I'll go back to the points we've already stated.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a case where you let – I mean, Carmelo.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they got a hell of a deal out of that, but you let a superstar leave Denver. You got enough in return, and they were just fine for many, many years after that.
True.
We'll come back. There's more to delve into this. The Heisman Trophy candidates were announced. You got to hear just some of these numbers with Klay Thompson. We're going to touch on those. And Paige VanZant is going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. That's all coming up on the Lowdown. It's 12:47, time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the entire family. We mentioned this earlier as we were talking about Klay Thompson's 60 points. He had the ball for a total of 90 seconds.
That is mind-blowing.
46 touches.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many times he touched the ball during the game. 20 of his 21 shots were assisted. Let me rephrase that. 20 of his 21 makes were assisted. He scored 52 points on that night. He scored 37 mm-hmm. against the Sacramento Kings. Again, he didn't play in the fourth quarter.
Did he hit 8 threes?
Last night?
Yeah. So it's a good amount, but it's not a you know, just this out of the world.
8 for 14.
Yeah. So, I mean, 24 came from 3, but he put in some work. Got, I think, 11 from the foul line and everything else, just cutting and moving and finding open spots.
Is Charles Barkley's stance with the Golden State Warriors getting a little played out?
Yes. Yeah. Because I just think I get what he's saying, but he's not adjusting to the current NBA. And he continues to say they don't play defense. You know, they're in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the top 10. And they were a good defensive team last year. They're not the best defensive team, but they're not. They are not just – I think Charles Barkley has in his head, all they do is shoot three-pointers and they don't guard you.
Yeah.
That's not what they are. I mean, you just have to watch them. They share the ball. They have an efficient offense. The assist numbers are staggering what they do. They've got multiple weapons now to beat you. And last year, I think they were a little more complete in one sense that they did have a good bench. They had some lineups that they could defend. They had the lineup of death that, you know, they put out there. But now they're so special offensively that, again, beating them 4 times, is it possible? I didn't think it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe someone can, but we're talking about the best teams that can do it. They're going to lose games during the year. But this team, I think Charles's whole take on them is tired.
Again, the absolute best stat from last night, Klay Thompson dribbled the ball 11 times. The Grammy nominations came out.
Uh-huh.
Record of the year. You got to make your picks right now.
Okay.
Hello by Adele. Formation from Beyonce. 7 Years, Lucas Graham. Work by Rihanna. How the hell that got a Grammy nomination is astonishing to me. And Stressed Out by 21 Pilots. You
okay.
got to pick. Record of the year.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question that's going to sound so incredibly naive here.
Okay.
What is the difference between album and record?
Record is the song.
That's what it is?
Hello. Like, Hello by Adele is
Why don't
song.
They say Song of the Year?
Well, because right, they're old school.
Really? That's it all this time? That's what it is?
Yeah. Album of the Year is the entire album.
Right, obviously. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
They think it's cute. I don't know. Okay. Is there a Song of the Year category in Grammy? That would
well,
be a problem.
That's what it is, right?
That would be a
me?
Problem. There is a Song of the Year.
Yeah, that's
so
what
So there's a Song of the Year and a Record of the Year.
An album of the year. That's what
well,
I'm
Well, album of the year, I understand.
Right.
Because you're talking about the whole album.
Yeah.
Like, the album of the year nominees are Adele for 25, Lemonade, Beyonce. Justin Bieber, which was, you guys joked at this, but it was a great album.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Grammy worthy. Drake, are you kidding me? No. It absolutely is not worth album of the year. And the only one that I haven't heard is Strugel Simpson.
I never even heard that.
A Sailor's Guide to the Earth. I don't. I tried to listen to it a little bit this morning. I just kind of ran out of time. Totally unfamiliar with that one. But I've heard everything else on this list.
Okay, so Record of the Year, you're telling me, is the song. Song of the Year, basically. Best
Correct.
Song?
Yes.
And
if we're wrong, Text Nation will just call us idiots and tell us.
Well, see, album of the year, I'm bad for the music industry. I hear songs. I hear what's played. I hear what becomes popular and what has a good hook. Then I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever really spend time on entire albums. I really haven't.
I think it's Adele again.
Yeah.
I really do think it's Adele. Now, Beyonce has 9 nominations. Drake, this is astonishing to me. Drake, Rihanna, and Kanye, they all have 8.
Okay.
But Beyonce has 9. Adele, I feel like Adele wins both of these categories.
Mm-hmm.
I think
wouldn't be surprised. Usually dominates.
Yeah, 25 was really, really good. And Lemonade was good too. In fact, all of the I didn't think the Drake album was that great, but I thought Adele was awesome. Beyonce was good, and like it or not, Justin Bieber was really good.
He's talented.
Let's go to a category you might be a little more familiar with.
Okay.
Heisman Trophy candidates.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Those were announced yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you see all of the games involving all of the candidates?
Not all of the games, no. But
you got some film to watch.
Yes.
Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Dede Westbrook, teammates. Deshaun Watson, Jabril Peppers. Last set of teammates, by the way, to get invited to New York.
I did see that. I forgot it already.
You're not going to like it.
Didn't
well, actually, you're right.
Didn't
it
happen.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, it's out of my
Reggie
memory.
Bush was not there in New York. Just Matt Leinart all by himself. Who do you like at it? I mean, it's Lamar Jackson, right?
Yeah, and what's weird, this is they hype this award more than any. We'll get next year's who's the front runner for next year already soon.
As soon as Sunday morning, probably, or Saturday night.
And then they play all year, and you're trying to, you know, can something happen late? I think there was a door open for some other guys because Lamar Jackson kind of fizzled.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was so far ahead, and I can't make a great case for any of the other guys. I think it's his.
Remember, it felt like for more than half a season that Leonard Fournette was going to win the year
mm-hmm.
before.
Yeah.
And then you talk about fizzling, he just wound up getting caught.
Yes.
Leonard Fournette, by the way, is going to enter the NFL draft,
as is
Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them, it makes sense before. Lamar Jackson, he was responsible for 51 touchdowns for Louisville, Lamar Jackson was. So we'll make it more difficult. Who's the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, and here we go to the Oklahoma guys, because I feel like Mayfield's had a really good year, as has Watson. Maybe the Oklahoma guys will split votes, so I'll go Deshaun Watson.
I could see that. I feel like it's Baker Mayfield. If you're going to say, well, who's the second best mm-hmm. player in the country? I feel like it's Baker Mayfield. Really,
for a
I feel
while,
like
you were trying to get Peppers in there, but there's no big moment to me for him.
He does everything and he does it really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I take that back. He does everything and he does it great, but he didn't have that standout moment. He had to have it against Ohio State. That was their biggest game of the year because they didn't play. Well, obviously they lost, so they didn't get to play in the Big Ten championship. But because usually someone has those moments, we saw Lamar Jackson account for like 7 touchdowns,
yeah,
multiple times in a game. Baker.
I still
Mayfield.
See the highlights of him hurdling a guy, I think, in Syracuse. The touchdowns he had the day he had against Florida State. Again, these are games in September and October, but they still sticking with me, and I feel like it's easily his, to be honest.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah. Completely agree.
Why? It's funny that this award has become this. I mean, it gets more attention from the beginning. It's one of the biggest sports awards out there, and it doesn't translate into anything.
It doesn't.
It does. I mean, it's a great award. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean Lamar Jackson's going to have a Pro Bowl and 10-year pro career. It could be a bust. Could not even make the NFL.
Troy Smith, anybody?
Yeah, there's lots of guys.
People forget this about Troy Smith. He had a rough start to his career. He was headed to be the Baltimore Ravens starting quarterback, and then he got sick. And he got sick with this mysterious illness.
Mm-hmm.
And who walks in? Joe Flacco.
Right.
And that's how Joe Flacco became the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Troy Smith had finally gotten it together, and it was okay, we're finally going to see something from this kid. Nah, not so much.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, by the way, is in the NFL. He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
But he's playing behind,
the guy having an awesome season.
The second best running back in the entire league.
Yeah.
In Tennessee. We'll come back. UFC fighter Paige Van Zandt. Woo! She's headlining the Fight Night card December 19th at the Golden One Center. She's going to join us next. Plus, we'll have our winners and losers of week 13. That's coming up. Third and final hour of the Lowdown next.